Welcome back to Beyond the Uniform. I'm Justin Asiri, and each week I interview military veterans about their civilian career. Today's episode number 46 with Mandy Psyche.
In the military, we like to talk about, well, we accomplish more before 9 a.m. than the rest of the world, or some comment like that. I think if you take that thought into the civilian world, it's going to hurt you, because there are really, really smart people out there, and there is just so much to be learned as you make the transition. And so everyone has chosen to do something different, whether you're in the military or working for Chick-fil-A or working for someone else, but they're adding a lot of value where they are. And so I think just keeping in mind, I can add value too in a unique way, and I have a unique skill set to bring, but there are also a lot of people around me who are really smart and also adding a lot of value.
The top two reasons to listen to today's episode are, one, executive leadership in restaurants. Mandy is a senior team lead at Chick-fil-A and provides a great look at what it's like to work at the corporate headquarters of one of the nation's most popular restaurants. Two, family life. Mandy's husband was in the Army as well. After they both transitioned out of the military, they were apart while she was working and he was at business school. She talks about the separation, how it compared to their separation while on active duty, and thoughts on how to make this more manageable. As always, at beyondtheuniform.io, you'll find other episodes and resources to help you in your civilian career. You'll also find the show notes for this episode, including links to everything we discuss and the timestamps to each topic we cover, just in case you'd like to skip between sections, just as you'd skip the worst tracks of Daft Punk's album, Random Access Memories, which are none. There are no bad tracks on that album. It's a national treasure, just like there are no skippable portions of this interview. So let's dive in to my interview with Mandy Psyche. Joining me today in Atlanta is Mandy Psyche. Mandy, welcome to Beyond the Uniform.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
So quick background for our listeners. Mandy is a senior team lead at Chick-fil-A Corporate. She started out at West Point and served in the Army for 5 years as a finance officer. She then received her MBA from Colorado State University while still on active duty and started her civilian career at Procter & Gamble, where she worked for 3 months as an associate manager, consumer and market knowledge, before she transitioned to Chick-fil-A, where she's worked for nearly 5 years, starting as a franchisee selection consultant, then a senior franchisee senior consultant, and now her current role as senior team lead specialized training. Mandy, anything to add to that background?
No, I think you hit all the high points.
Awesome. Well, let's start out with your current role at Chick-fil-A. How would you explain what you do to another veteran?
So I currently lead a team of seven, and it's a new team actually that was formed April the 1st. So I came from a different role within Chick-fil-A to this team and came into the role actually without any experience in training, but was excited about doing a new body of work for the organization. So a team that had never been formed before. And what it is we've gone to a more centralized training model at Chick-fil-A. So instead of having subject matter experts in each department, we've taken those subject matter experts and brought them all into one team in training. And so they used to be focused on training, but lived within their department. And now they live within training and are also still focused on their subject matter that they're an expert in. And so on that team, we have finance, IT, marketing, hospitality, food safety, and facilities and equipment. And so it's been a lot of fun. It's been a lot about figuring out who are we, what's our purpose, what do we do, and how do we add value to the organization. So this year's been really a lot of learning for me and for our team, but really have enjoyed it.
And I think it's always helpful to provide that granular insight on what does that look like from a day-to-day basis. And I imagine there's a lot of variability from one day to another. But in general, could you walk us through, like, what time do you get to the office and what sort of activities you do throughout the day?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a pretty strong meeting culture at Chick-fil-A, and we have a consensus-based culture, which I think also ties into the fact that we meet a lot. So I end up spending a lot of my time in meetings, and that could be in one-on-one meetings or with smaller groups or larger groups. But I usually get to the office around 9 o'clock in the morning. So I, and this could be something we talk about later, but I love to work out. And so I really try to get that in every morning, or unless I have a scheduled rest day, but otherwise I hold that time pretty sacred. And so unless I have a meeting early in the morning, I won't get in until about 9. And I have a daughter who's almost 2. And so that's time for us in the morning too. So get in about 9, and then I'll usually stay until around 6 and pick her up. We're fortunate enough to have a childcare center on site. And so I drop her off there and they close at 6:15. So I have to make sure I pick her up by 6 o'clock, usually try to get there, but sometimes I'm a little bit later than that, but no later than 6:15. So that day is, again, meetings and then time. I have to be really intentional about setting time aside for myself to think strategically about the business and where we're going, because if you're not careful, you can get into very tactical work every day and never take time to step back and reflect on where are we going.
Oh man, I relate to that too. And especially for me, and I imagine a lot of veterans are probably in this camp, but I really gravitate towards the tactical and the execution components. And yes. So it's kind of like also, it's what I enjoy doing more. And so for me, the strategy work is so much more important, but sometimes feels more of a chore. So I definitely agree, like having to really be deliberate in carving out that time to make that sacred.
And I love the strategy work, but it's one of those things that's hard to check off a list. And I love writing things down and saying, yep, I accomplished that. I accomplished that. And with strategy, you don't have the opportunity to say, yep, all right, done. It's not one of those things that you just check off in a day or even know when you really finish it. And so that poses some challenges, but I have to just be very intentional about blocking off time to do that.
That's great. And what's it look like from a lifestyle standpoint? So I appreciate kind of the hours. I'm wondering, do you end up working in the evening, on weekends? Do you travel a lot? What's the lifestyle impact
of
your job?
I do not travel much anymore. I travel about once every other month. And I used to travel a lot, so I can talk about that if I talk about my previous role at all. But in this role, I don't travel a whole lot. And I do typically get on the computer at night. So I'll go back home and we'll have dinner. And then my daughter goes to bed around 8:30 or 9. And then most weeknights, I find myself back on the computer. Even if it's just for an hour or two, it's a great time for me to get some administrative work done that I didn't have a chance to do during the day. And I typically try to not work too much on the weekends. And I've been able, thankfully, to do that. There are times and there are seasons where that doesn't work as well. But usually I don't have to get back on the computer on the weekends.
And what do you think is the most challenging aspect of your work right now?
The unknown, just the fact that we're a new team. And it's what I love about my role, but it's also the most challenging part of my role. So I was excited about doing this work because it was a whiteboard and I got to figure out what we do, who we are, how do we add value. And that's really great. That's also a lot of responsibility. And when you don't have someone else saying, here's the direction, here's the guidance, can be really fun, but also really hard. And so I think for me, just trying to ensure that I am doing what I need to be doing for the business can be the most difficult thing. But I love structure. So I always think for me, I gravitate back towards, all right, let's get back to structure, creating a process. And that helps you feel like we are getting somewhere.
I love that. I love that sense of kind of trying to create structure and order out of chaos and breaking down what could be this nebulous, insurmountable task and making it something that's a little bit more bite-sized and achievable. I always like to look at how you ended up there. So let's maybe rewind the clock to when you were still in the Army on active duty. At what point did you know you were going to leave the Army, and how did you approach that decision?
So anyone who knows me would know that I made that decision pretty early on. I went to West Point, and even at West Point for the first 2 years, you can make the decision to leave without owing the Army anything. And so I pretty much every day debated in my mind, is this what I want to do? And came to a place where I decided, yes, this is what I want to do. But I always knew that for me, it was a 5-year commitment, and then I was going to move on to do something else. I've always had dreams of being in the corporate world, potentially owning my own business one day. And so I knew that that wouldn't be long term. But when you marry someone who's also in the military, that can create an interesting dynamic. And my husband loved the military, but he was willing to make the decision to get out when I decided I was ready to get out, which was at the 5-year mark. And so appreciate that so much. But because he made that decision, that allowed me to then pursue a career doing really anything at that point versus being tied to something close to a military base or something that's going to allow you to move every few years.
And how did you think about the reserves and whether or not to be part of the reserves?
So I, as part of the process when you get out, they ask that you talk to a reserve officer and at least consider that. And so I did, and talked to a few people who had decided to pursue the reserves and just decided it wasn't something that I thought I could fit into my life. It's awesome for people who do and who can make that sacrifice and make it work along with work. But I knew I was going to be going into something totally new and a role that would be pretty demanding wherever I ended up. And so I just didn't think I had the capacity to add that also to what I was going to be doing.
And you ended up, you did your MBA while in the military.
I did.
I'm wondering two things. One, in retrospect, how important was an MBA to where you're at right now in your career? And two, what was that like juggling an MBA experience while on active duty? And if that's something you would recommend?
Sure. So I would absolutely recommend it. And I'm so thankful for a friend of mine who did it before me and said, Mandy, I think you would love doing this, because we were wired very similarly at West Point. And so it was actually before a deployment. I got news that I was going to be deploying and decided I've got to make the most of this deployment. I know it's going to be difficult to be away from family. I'm going to be gone for 15 months. And I really want to come back from that, not with just this experience, but also with something that's going to help me in the future. And so I decided to start researching graduate school programs. And at that time, there weren't many that were accredited and also allowed you to do most of what you needed to do remotely. And so I narrowed it down to three. It was Auburn, Colorado State, and Penn State. And Auburn and Penn State still had a requirement where they wanted me at least 2 weeks to be on campus. And when you're deployed, there's no way to get 2 weeks at a college campus, although that would have been fun. So Colorado State was awesome. I took the GMAT the day before I was scheduled to deploy and was hoping that would go well. And fortunately it did, and then ended up getting in, and Colorado State was awesome. I loved the program because essentially we took the exact same classes that they took on campus, and except we were 2 weeks behind. And so they recorded the classes on campus, and then they sent us I received a DVD in Iraq. And the timing worked out that actually doing it in Iraq, I mean, you would think that would be impossible with the timing, and it all worked out. It was pretty amazing. And if they hadn't sent the DVD, I would never have been able to do it because I couldn't stream anything over my computer, but having the DVD that I could watch worked really well. So, as far as just how demanding it was really demanding. And I spent every night in Iraq, and if I ever had a Sunday that I wasn't working, that's exactly what I was doing. And then actually it was probably easier doing that while deployed than when I came home, because when I came home, there were of course lots of other things I could do with my time that were way more appealing. And at least when you're in Iraq, there's not much else to do. So, schoolwork seems kind of fun, but here in the US, that's the last thing you really want to do. But it did, it ended up taking a lot of my evenings and weekends. And you just, when that's your goal and you want to do it, you just make time for it. But you're grateful when you finish and have time to do other fun things instead.
That's awesome. And then going from the Army, you ended up at Procter & Gamble. It's considered one of the industry greats and just known for best practices and a really difficult organization to get into. How did you find your way to Procter & Gamble? What was that job search process like?
Yeah, so I wasn't sure what I wanted to do when I left the military. And I ended up going to a Service Academy Career Conference. And so it's open to any academy grad, and there's various companies that come and recruit. And so one of the companies there was Procter & Gamble, and I had the chance to talk to them, learn about what they do, who they are. And so the role in consumer market knowledge was really interesting to me. I had a psychology degree from West Point, and so decided to pursue that. And
what is that, just in case someone's not familiar, what is consumer and market knowledge?
Yeah. So the best way to describe it is just really trying to understand why consumers do what they do. So it's the data and analysis behind why we make the decisions that we do. Why do you walk into a grocery store and choose one product over another?
Great.
And so, so it sounded really interesting and ended up going through the entire process and getting an offer. And really one of the key reasons, it was a great company. That was criteria number one for me. But two was my husband at the time, he found out he was going to Harvard Business School. So he had applied, was accepted to go to Harvard Business School. And for us, we had been apart in the military. So of the 5 years we served in the Army, collectively, of all the time we spent together, it was about a year of the
wow.
five. And so we really wanted to prioritize being together at that point. And we knew he was going to be in Boston. And so we were hopeful with the P&G job that I was going to be in Boston with Gillette. And ended up taking the role because of the fact that it was a great company and also an opportunity for us to be together. However, there's more to that.
Yeah, so, that's what I was going to ask. So then what happened next?
Yeah, so we moved to Boston, and about 2 weeks before I was supposed to start, I got an email that said my role was actually going to be in Cincinnati, which is where P&G is headquartered. And so that was a rough day. And I debated, do I just decide I'm not going to do this and stay here in Boston, or do I pack up and move, even though that was really the last thing we wanted to do. And I made the decision to move because I'd committed to P&G, and also because I really wanted to start a career and I was excited about it. And so I packed up my car and said goodbye to Dave and our two dogs and drove to Albany, New York, picked up my dad, and then we went and picked out an apartment in Cincinnati. And then I stayed at Procter & Gamble for about 3 months. And that's where the story gets really crazy. But I had interviewed actually with Chick-fil-A prior to accepting the job with P&G, and I had received an offer from Chick-fil-A. And while I was at P&G, I just really felt like if I was going to be away from Dave and had known that, I would have rather been at Chick-fil-A. And so I reached back out to Chick-fil-A and just asked if there was any way that they would reconsider. And they happened to have the job still open. We have a very long hiring process at Chick-fil-A. So many months later, they still had the job open, which was pretty amazing. And after another couple interviews, they said, we'd love to have you. So I ended up leaving everything in Cincinnati, moving to Atlanta, going through training, living in a hotel, running a restaurant. It was a crazy ride, but all worth it, and glad to be where I am now.
I'm just imagining, like, the it's even crazier just putting myself in your shoes, where I'm in Cincinnati, new job. There's that, I think, especially from the military, that desire to see things through. You've just probably signed an apartment. You've done all this moving. And so the odds are stacked in favor of complacency and staying there, and to disrupt all of that and to overcome that inertia and realize that you would be happier somewhere else. I think that takes a lot of courage to not only recognize that, but then act on that knowledge.
Well, it felt a little crazy at the time. And, but I did, I really believe that Chick-fil-A was ultimately where I was supposed to be. And so I was willing to do all of that. And thankfully my family was very supportive of that as well, because it couldn't have happened without my parents and Dave. But it did feel a little crazy. And I think it would have been a lot easier to just say, well, I will just stay at P&G. It's a great company, and I can make this work. But I really decided, no, I think Chick-fil-A is where I'm supposed to go.
And so you start out at Chick-fil-A, like you said, and your title is a franchisee selection consultant.
Correct.
What does that mean? What did that job look like?
Sure. So I was on the team that selected our operators, and I started working in the Northeast region, which for us is a growth region. We started in the Southeast, and we've really started to expand across the country. And so I worked in the Northeast, which was a large market at the time.
And I'm imagining proximity to Dave at that point didn't hurt either. You're probably
right.
A closer flight away. Yep.
Yeah. So he's still in Boston. I'm getting to travel to the Northeast, which that's when I traveled a lot and was essentially traveling to the Northeast to meet candidates and would interview candidates. So most of my job was spent meeting with candidates, interviewing them, and then helping them along their journey through the selection process at Chick-fil-A, which the operator process is very long. And we say it takes anywhere from 18 to 24 months for someone to become an operator. But I've certainly seen people who have been in the process a lot longer than that. So,
by operator, you mean, so this is someone who's running an actual store, who's like responsible for everything going on in one physical store?
That's correct. Yes. That's exactly right. And we have the model at Chick-fil-A is a little bit different than most franchises. But yes, so it's the person that's responsible for everything that's happening in that restaurant.
And what does let's get more granular on traveling a lot. What did that look like? Like, how often were you on the road? Like, how often were you hopping on flights? How did that translate week to week?
So I was probably on the road at least every other week. And I would usually go Tuesday to Thursday. And then I also traveled every other weekend to Boston to see Dave. So at that time, I was traveling quite a bit and thankfully didn't have my daughter then because that would have made things really difficult. But I enjoyed it a lot. It was a great season of life for me to be on the road and loved being in the Northeast. And so it was a really a perfect time to have those sorts of demands.
I'm just curious on the personal side of things. How did the separation that you're describing right there, how did that differ from the separation you experienced while you were both on active duty?
So Dave and I joke, and we said, there's every job we've ever had, every interview we've ever had, people have always said, how do you feel about travel? And that's because I came to Chick-fil-A in that role they knew had a lot of travel. And so the question is, how are you open to that? And because whoever's going into that role really has to be open to that. And so I said, there is no travel that I would be opposed to. If I'm staying in the United States, you're not going to deploy me. And I only have to be gone a few nights a week. This sounds amazing. So I think we can handle it. And oh, by the way, Dave and I are apart anyway. So being on the road is no problem at all. But even if we weren't, even when Dave was considering becoming a consultant, we had the same conversation, and for us, it was anything is better than being deployed and apart and not knowing what's next or getting an assignment and being told your next assignment, even in the States, is not going to be together. So from our standpoint, travel with a company seemed like no big deal at the time.
And I'm like thinking literally, I said in my consulting interviews years and years ago, like, it's very similar. I'm like, look, I'm used to being on a submarine underwater. You put me in a nice hotel with internet access and a cell phone, and I can call my family once or twice a week. That's 1,000 times of an improvement. And
right.
I'm just wondering, like, so then how did the actuality stack up? Because sometimes I feel like a lot of veterans feel the same way, and I'm wondering is that how it was for you, or was it different from that?
So for that season, it was that way. And I did really enjoy the travel. I had two team members that I traveled with a lot of the time. And so the three of us had a lot of fun when we traveled. And for me, I would have been home by myself anyway, because Dave was in Boston. So that season was really optimal for travel. When Dave became a consultant and was traveling a fair amount, actually his travel wasn't really too crazy. It was more that it was unpredictable, which became the most difficult part of it, not knowing when, just knowing it was probably coming. But the plan was always, I'm just assuming you're going to travel, even though I have no idea if you really are. That became a challenge. And then introducing kids into the mix. So just our daughter, right now I'm not in a place where I want to travel anymore. And not because I don't enjoy travel, but I think for me, it's important that I have flexibility where I don't need to do that in my role. And I'm not unwilling to travel some, but I don't want that to be a key part of my role. And so I think it does change. And I think sometimes when you experience that week after week after week, it can become really difficult. And so to have a job where I had to do that for a 20-year career would be really difficult for me. But being in a role where I could do that and then move into something else where it doesn't have as much travel was a great balance.
And then I'm wondering, so you were in that role for about 3 years, and then you moved to a more senior position. Was that less travel? Were you then overseeing people in your former role, or what was that next role?
So that role was pretty similar to what I had been doing before. And I did end up taking, I had the Northeast originally, and the Northeast ended up being split up somewhat into the Northeast and Midwest gaining a few states. So I ended up taking on the Northeast and the Midwest. And then I became a team captain over my peers. And so at Chick-fil-A, that just really means I wasn't providing them with their evaluations, but I was really I had influence over that area of the business. And so that was my first, it wasn't true people leadership, but it was an opportunity to really influence that group. So that's what I ended up doing when I moved into that senior role.
If a veteran is listening right now, and what you're describing sounds really appealing, maybe in the restaurant business or in the type of role you're in, what are some indications that they might really enjoy this and be well-suited for this sort of work? And what are some signs that this might not be the ideal type of job for them?
Sure. So the work that I did was, I spent a lot of time, it was very much one-on-one with candidates who are interested in becoming operators for Chick-fil-A. And so I think you have to enjoy the one-on-one interaction. So if you're someone who loves to be with big groups, then that wouldn't be a great role. And then the role that I was in was very structured and very tactical work. So very much on the execution level. And there's an opportunity to, as you're doing the work, think about how can we improve this, but not strategic thinking really in that work. But super exciting to think about helping someone accomplish a dream that they have of owning their own business. And so that for me was really satisfying and where I found a lot of fulfillment in the work. But as far as the day-to-day, I think it's individualized, a lot of written and oral communication skills. So you're explaining you are the brand to this person that you're meeting. And then you're also taking a lot of notes on their ability to go and do what you're looking for. And so even interviewing in and of itself is a skill. And I really had to develop that over time. But the ability to sit down and listen to someone's story and know what you're trying to find out about them and then ask the appropriate questions to get that information, and then also take notes and work on an evaluation at the same time. So there's a lot there. And really, that's not something that I think anyone walks into with, yes, I know how to do all of this. But you grow in that over time. But you have to really want to learn that and enjoy that.
That's great. And let's talk about career paths, because, you know, I think of, let's say, for consulting in general, you know, there's a lot of different paths, but in general, it seems like a consultant works their way up to partner within the firm, or they jump into industry. I'm wondering, for someone who's taken your path, what sort of roles do you see them go on to do? Like, what are career options for the people who have gone before you in these sorts of roles?
So it's really interesting. At Chick-fil-A especially, it's very different than Procter & Gamble. Procter & Gamble has a much more structured career path that you can follow, and Chick-fil-A is not like that. the three people that were in the role that I was in when I started, one is now an operator, and then I moved over to the training team, and then one is now a recruiter. So we've all moved on to do other things, and those are really the only three that I know of that had the role when I came on board. But I think at Chick-fil-A, it's different than a lot of companies because there's opportunity to do other things outside of what you're doing. And because we're growing so much, those opportunities exist sort of across the business, but it's not clear in if you do this, you're going to move into this role and then you can move up to this next position. So not as clear as some companies, but definitely opportunity once you show that you have the competency to do something else.
And having served as a leader now in at Chick-fil-A and also in the Army, how would you say leadership has differed for you in your experience from the military to being a leader now in the civilian workforce?
So this is not a knock on the military at all, but I work with some really high caliber people at Chick-fil-A. And so for me, it's a lot now about not as much task or very tactical things that I need someone to go and do. And I'm fortunate I have a team of people that I need to be strategists, really. And so, I mean, they're pushing me as much as I'm pushing them to think about how do we do things differently. And so my challenge as a leader is making sure that they're getting developed appropriately. I'm pushing them appropriately. I'm providing them the resources that they need. And it's not, so that looks very different than what was required of me as a leader in the military. In the military, there was no space for me to think about doing things differently and creating new structures. I mean, we've got a structure. We want you to follow that. And we just want to make sure everyone here is following that. And so that's been really different in a learning process for me, but I've loved every minute of it.
And, you know, I appreciated at the start, you kind of talked about how from the Army, you took away this commitment to fitness and how you've really prioritized that. I'm also curious, any other positive habits that you've tried to maintain from the Army, but also what are some of the negative habits from the military that you had to break to be successful on the civilian side?
So I think one of the things that fitness is a big one for me. And then just the thing that you love about the Army that you don't realize until you leave is the camaraderie and the sense of purpose. And so for me, leaving the military, you can find that in lots of other ways and you can create that for yourself. For us, for me and my husband, we volunteer at our church and we lead high schoolers. We both have a small group and we've been with them for 4 years. So they're seniors this year and we'll be graduating. And that's just been really awesome to get to pour into their lives. But I think it's finding what that is for you, for any individual. How do I connect what I'm doing to a bigger, greater purpose? Because I think you have that in the Army and then you leave the military and you kind of feel like your organization may have that to a degree, and Chick-fil-A certainly does, but it's different. It's definitely different than the military.
And when you look back on that transition from the Army to civilian life, what were some of the more surprising aspects? What didn't you know to expect that you experienced when you became a civilian?
I think you realize, I mean, you're in a bubble when you're in the military and you're around people who understand that experience and they're living it every day, just like you are. And so when you leave the military, there is a period of time. It takes you some time to really adjust to this new life. And it's a really great life and I've loved it, but it is very different. And so you're no longer around people who even understand what you did in the military. And you meet some people who are very curious about that and want to learn more, but you have to understand that you can't come into any organization and think, well, because I was in the military, everyone here is going to respect me. That just isn't the case. And like I said, it's not that anyone doesn't value the service. It's just they don't understand and they don't know. And so you have to help educate people and then just be open when people are curious to share about your experience.
That's great. And I'm wondering, so when you, especially when you look back on your first 2 or 3 years out of the Army, in what ways did you feel ahead of your civilian counterparts? And what were some of the ways in which you felt like you had to make up some ground to catch up to your civilian counterparts?
So I think leadership, certainly. For me, leadership, I think courage is a big part of it. I am not afraid to speak my mind, and I can do it in a very professional way. But if I have a thought about something, and I am more than happy to share that with my team, with even my boss. And so I think just the courage to stay true to who you are, what you know is right. And I think just overall, the ability to move into a role where you are leading other people and being comfortable with that. So that was that. I felt like I had a huge leg up there. I will say with that is a challenge. So you come from the military where you're used to leading people and probably enjoyed that and have a desire to do that in the civilian workforce. And you switch over, and most companies are not going to say, well, you did this in the military, so we're going to give you a team of salaried employees and want you to run with it and see how you do. You're going to have to earn that right. And so it's great that you feel comfortable doing that, but that's probably not going to happen right away. And then as far as just feeling behind, for me, it was when I got to Procter & Gamble, I felt like my peers were a lot more knowledgeable about the part of the business that we were asked to represent than I was. And many of them were even younger than I was, but it's because they had been doing that a few years and I'm new to all of this. So not only are you transitioning out of the military, which is a change, but you're also trying to learn something totally new. And that was hard. Hard at Chick-fil-A too. I mean, I'd never interviewed anyone. I'd never interviewed a soul until I came into the role in franchisee selection. And so you're learning a new skill set, you're learning a new business, you're learning a new way of life in a sense. So that's a challenge and fun, but that's what I would say. You feel like, okay, I've got to catch up here.
That's great. And I appreciate that too, because I think a lot of veterans, rightly so, have a lot of confidence and, you know that they can take on very difficult challenges. But I think it's really important to bear in mind that while we were working in the military, our peers were working very dedicatedly in their job. Yes. And to just assume that you're going to drop in and catch up in a few weeks, I think is going to set people up for a lot of frustration and disappointment. But if you go in, like you were talking about, like realizing like, look, these people have been doing this for multiple years, it's going to take a while to build that up. And of course, you're going to be ahead in other areas like leadership and many other ways, but to go in with your eyes open and realize like, it's not, you know, these people are not idiots. You know, they've been smart and dedicated and working very hard. And so it's going to take a lot of work and time to close that gap.
Yeah. And one more thing I'll say about that. I think in the military, we like to talk about, well, we accomplished more before 9 a.m. than the rest of the world, or some comment like that. I can't remember exactly how it went, because we're up early doing PT. And I think if you take that thought into the civilian world, it's going to hurt you, because there are really, really smart people out there. And there is just so much to be learned as you make the transition. And so I think realizing, and I think most anyone who's made the transition quickly realizes, wow, everyone has chosen to do something different, whether you're in the military or working for Chick-fil-A or working for someone else, but they're adding a lot of value where they are. And so I think just keeping in mind, I can add value too in a unique way, and I have a unique skill set to bring, but there are also a lot of people around me who are really smart and also adding a lot of value.
That's great. Well, I always like to end on more of an open-ended question, and I think we've covered a lot in terms of Chick-fil-A and the type of role you've done and how you got there, and I also really appreciated the portions about what that's like balancing that with a significant other. I'm wondering, just knowing that you have an audience of veterans and active duty personnel, anything else you'd like them to know? It could be personal, professional, or anything we haven't covered so far.
I would say just don't be afraid. If I have so many friends that I feel like choose to stay in the military, which staying in the military is an amazing choice to make if that's the right thing for you and your family. But I would say if you feel like you've served your country well and it's time to do something new and you're ready for a new challenge, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to step out of what you've known for 5, 10, 15, 20 years and experience something new and go in with an open mind. I never thought, one, I would be in the military, or two, I would work for a fast food restaurant. And I have loved both of those experiences. And so I think you have to have an open mind, and then just don't be afraid. Have courage. Know that the military has given you a lot of great skills that you can take and add a ton of value to an organization. And so just be open-minded and go into a new organization and be ready to give them all you've got. And I think you'll see great results.
Awesome. I think that's fantastic advice, Mandy. And I appreciate your candor and just all the great advice you've given the listeners and myself. So thank you so much.
Thank you. It was great to get to do this. I appreciate it.
Surface.
Thanks for listening. Before you go, three important announcements. First, if you believe in what I'm doing and believe in supporting veterans in their careers, please, please, please help me spread the word. The best way I know to do that right now is by taking 18 seconds to write a review on iTunes. It would mean a lot. Second, based on my interviews, I'd advise any and all veterans to look at servicetoschool.org and the American Corporate Partners. Both are completely free for veterans and give you a lot of great resources for your education or professional life, respectively. Third, there are a ton of other great interviews, resources, and data at beyondtheuniform.io. Check it out, share it with your friends, and drop me a line if you have any feedback, because I'd love to hear from you. Thanks, and see you on the next interview.